Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hi Jordan, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for saying yes to this. I am very excited to dive into this conversation. But before I do, can you please let the Hey Girl listeners know who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, my name is Jordan Madison, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I am originally from Brooklyn, New York, but I'm currently practicing in Maryland. And I see individuals, couples, and families as well.
So I want to talk a little bit about your work, how you got started in therapy, and also being a Black woman in this space of supporting other Black families and folks through your work. So how did you get started?
Sure. Well, to be honest, it was, I want to say, an episode of Grey's Anatomy. I have wanted to be a therapist since I was at least 12 or 13 or so, but I wasn't necessarily sure what type of therapist. I just knew I wanted to be a therapist. And it was around college where I began to think of the type of therapist I want to be. And in 2014, that's when Michael Brown had passed, or I should say was killed. And that really hit home. It wasn't the first act of violence that hit home for me, but I think it hit home because I was older, I was in college, I was taking a Black psych class at Morehouse. So I went to Spelman, but we were able to take classes at Morehouse. And when the police officer got acquitted or did not get indicted, we were all very angry. We started protests, we organized something. And I just started to think about, you know, we're angry now, but eventually we go back to everyday life. But what about the family and the friends that actually knew him and loved him, and their life doesn't go back to normal, you know? And so it really became me thinking of all of these Black men. At the time in my mind, it was all of these Black men are losing their lives. And what about the mothers and the fathers and the wives and the sisters and those who love them? What happens to them? And I want to help heal not only them, but our community, because we're seeing people that look like us constantly being killed by people who are supposed to protect us, or people who just feel like they have the power to do so.
Right.
And that can be traumatic as well, even if it's not happening to us. So it really became a sense of wanting to heal the Black community. And then, of course, I started to also think of, you know, this is happening to Black women as well. It's not just a Black male issue. Mm-hmm. It's definitely more prevalent for Black men, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening to Black women and Black lives, period, Black trans men, Black trans women, all of those things. And so it's really just about, how can I help our community heal?
I love that. How can I help our community heal as a whole? Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, between COVID and that pandemic happening and impacting Black folks on a much greater scale than our counterparts, and the current uprising and civil rights movement that our generation is walking through, it can feel really tender and overwhelming. And also, like, what can we do? What else can we do? How can we show up? How can we take care of ourselves through the work that we're doing, our advocacy, and our self-advocacy, you know, and how self-care at the end of the day is community care. So that kind of shifts me to my next question, is how are you teaching your, or facilitating your clients to take care of themselves during this time so that they can show up and support their community? How is it coming full circle for you these days on a professional level and in your personal life too?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I preach self-care to my clients. And at first, when it was just COVID, my biggest message was to be gentle with yourself, because we are experiencing something that's unprecedented that no one has ever experienced before. And it's not just each state or a neighborhood experiencing it. It's like a global thing that's happening, right? So for some people, I know for myself, I live by myself. And at first I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. Like, I already live by myself. I don't have to go in and see clients. So I'm just in the house. I still am able to do what I need to do and help other people. And this isn't that bad, but it's been 4 months, right? So it can become mundane and it can be really hard. So I've been telling clients to be gentle with yourself in terms of your self-care may look different from day to day. Your productivity may look different day to day. Or you may have started out feeling good even though the pandemic was happening, and now time has worn on and you can't take it anymore, or you're reacting differently. Mm. So my biggest thing is how you take care of yourself is really just being gentle and having self-compassion and then seeing what you need. So some days for some people, you know, being productive is their self-care. It helps them feel like they're getting stuff done. Maybe they enjoy their work, whatever the case may be. And for someone else, self-care can be binging a TV show on Netflix. You know, your self-care is whatever makes you feel good. It's not what society deems as feeling good. And then not to mention, because everything is shut down, maybe the things that we used to do as self-care can't happen anymore. Like, I know I would kill for a massage right now.
Right.
I recently looked up, because I'm back in Maryland, and I recently looked up like where Massage Envy or anything was open, and nothing's open. So the pandemic has kind of stopped us from doing other things that maybe would have regularly been our self-care. So that means also getting creative with how you take care of yourself, bringing your self-care into your home instead of going out to get it all the time.
Mm.
And when it comes to our, like, the racial injustices that we've been experiencing and the tension that's been boiling up, with that, I say that your self-care looks different as well, but in terms of what people are doing. So I remember making a post on my professional Instagram that your self-care can look like staying on social media because you want to be involved and know the latest details, or it can look like staying off social media because you need peace of mind. Mm. It can look like going to a protest and using that anger, that hurt, that rage to protest, or it can be signing petitions, donating, you know, like you were the being a part of the movement doesn't just look like one thing.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people feel like, well, if I'm not out there protesting, am I angry enough? Am I black enough? Am I fighting for the cause enough? And there's so many other ways to make an impact and to make a difference. And this is not just a moment in time. This is a long standing
movement.
It's
a long haul. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know? And I know for myself, I had to think of that. So when I did go to like a few protests after Michael Brown, and I did organize one with some of my classmates. But long term, I was thinking to myself, I'm not really always going to be about the protest life. Like, I felt safe and I felt like I was doing something and it was great those times, but not every time I'm going to feel safe. And how can I continue to help even if it's not a protest? And how can I use my talent? So a lot of people are like, go vote, which is clearly important. But a lot of people are like, well, I want to get into politics and change the law and change the policies. That wasn't my ministry. So it was like,
right.
How can I use my talents
to
help? And so it's been more of the healing piece and talking to people through how they're feeling and educating people that like racial trauma is a thing and it exists. And, you know, showing how that pops up in our lives.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I love all of that. Those are great both and type of, you know, statements and reflections to think about. And I really love, I was on your Instagram earlier, and I really love how you do your new month check-ins with your community. And I want to talk a little bit about the importance of writing, because I'm a writer. So the minute I looked at your check-in, I'm like, okay, here are my journal questions for the month. And also other ways that folks can reflect, say, if they are not into journaling, or maybe they want to voice note their answers. Like, what are some ways that you are encouraging people to do their check-in, so it's not just this fleeting moment in time, but perhaps something that becomes a ritual and that really creates this sense of emotional safety within their own practices as we walk through everything that we're walking through?
I love that, the voice note piece. See, I often tell my clients it doesn't have to be physically writing in a journal. I mean, for some that's cathartic. I know that I have my own journal that I write in. But I often say you can type it in your notes on your phone. It doesn't have to be written. And I think what you just said of the voice notes, that's a great idea that I would definitely tell clients to do. But I think incorporating it into a routine, if you have a morning routine, which is definitely helpful to have, you know, your check-in can be looking in the mirror and giving yourself some affirmations, or just asking yourself, how do I feel today? Or what do I need today?
Yeah.
And how can I give that to myself? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be journal writing. It can also be, you know, I've been using certain apps, the Shine app I use to help me practice gratitude. So it asks, what are you grateful for today? And what are you going to do to feel good today? So I try to do that every day. And there's a brand new app actually that just hit the app store. I was able to use it while it was in testing phase, but it's called the Ladder app. And that's been helping me keep track of my habits, because you can create your own habits that you want to do, but you can also have journal entries. You can track your mood. So it's a really, really good app. And I've been using that as well. So it doesn't have to be this conventional one way of checking in. I think self-care kind of gets this rap that self-care looks like bubble baths and pampering. And it's like, no, self-care is doing whatever you need to do for yourself. It can be eating a healthy meal, or putting your phone on do not disturb, or going to sleep early, you know, like just taking care of yourself in whatever way you need.
The question on your new month check-in that really stood out to me is, what needs improvement? Mm-hmm. And I really love that question, because I've been like trying to figure out in my own life, where do I need to do a little better outside of self-care, but just in general, like, you know, I'm home with the family of five, three little ones. How can I exercise better patience? How can I prioritize work and life? Because now I'm working from home. Ryan is working from home, and we still have these three children that need our full attention. How can we, you know, make space for harmonizing everything? So that is the question that I'm really going to be leaning on and asking myself, maybe for the next few weeks until my 31st birthday, which is coming up. I will
That's
do that
so
question.
Exciting.
Thank you. It is exciting. And I'm doing gratitude listing every day until my birthday. I've been painting every day until my birthday, and I'm going to add what needs improvement, because that is something I'm constantly like swirling around in my head. You know?
Yeah, and I think it's a gentle way to ask, because I think we're always our toughest critic. And so if something needs improvement, it doesn't mean that it's a failure, or that it's wrong, or that it's bad. It just means it could be better. Mm. And there's so many different aspects, right? So patience. I know for me, when I wrote that, I know I needed to be better at patience as well for me. Because at the time, in the very beginning of the month, I was waiting to hear back from the Maryland State Board to be fully licensed. And so I actually just received that yesterday. So I am like in such a great mood.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm completely overjoyed and filled with gratitude. But at the time that I wrote that, which was the end of June, it was like, okay, it's already been 2 weeks. What's taking so long? You know, and I needed to practice patience and continuing to trust in my faith in God, because he had literally already brought me this far. So I knew I would get it. It was just a matter of when. But, you know, there's so many other areas where we can be like, okay, well, this part needs to be improved, or this month I want to focus on this instead. You know, I think that that's really helpful. And I'm honestly honored that you even found myself, you know, check-in so helpful, because I feel like I have looked at your page for posts, for guidance, whether it's been after a breakup, or whether it's been like some self-motivation or some affirmations. So I'm glad that, you know, we're both kind of using check-ins and the gratitude to keep ourselves self-centered and that we can help each other do that.
Yes, absolutely. I am honored to be in this community with amazing folks, you know, just like you and other therapists that I really admire. And I'm so grateful that there's Black women in this space who are like, who we can be in community with one another with. Like, I think that's just, I could just go on and on about it, but I think it's just so important because at the end of the day, we really do need one another. I think it's important that we look to one another and that we cultivate this space of sisterhood and community and reflection because we really are each other's mirror. And I just find this to be, you know, extremely powerful. So thank you as well. So you mentioned in your email, and I did not want to let this conversation go on without touching on your specialty. You mentioned in your email that you wanted to talk a little bit about Black love and quarantine. And I know you mentioned how me and my husband have been managing, especially with children in the home. Yes, absolutely. The truth. But I want to talk to you about how you're supporting your couple clients in this space of, you know, being quarantined together, spending so much time together and staying connected and not just going through the motions. And then I'll tell you how me and Ryan are doing.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think what you said of staying connected and not just going through the motions is really big. I've been focusing on just because you two are physically in the house together all the time doesn't mean you're actually spending quality time. So being sure to still be intentional about the time that you set out to just be partner time. Mm-hmm. Also, you're in the house all the time together. You might be frustrated with the small things that your partner is doing, or you don't get that break from one another to miss each other or to, you know, be curious about how each other's day went, because you already know how each other's day went because you've been together all day, right? But adding the curiosity of other stuff, you know, maybe you, this day-to-day stuff is mundane, but you have this opportunity to use it to get to know your partner all over again. And I know a lot of long-term relationships, it becomes, well, I already know everything about my partner, or we've been together so long, I already know how she feels or what he does or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. But everyone grows and changes. Maybe not every single day, but, you know, everyone grows and changes. So right. The partner that you were with when you first got together may not completely be that same person because they've grown and they've changed, and you as well. You've grown and you've changed as well. So continuing to get to know each other, you know, I've been suggesting date night ideas. You know, I've been putting my cousin, he owns a candle making company. Awesome. And so he sells candles. They can be found on Macy's, but because of quarantine, he's begun a DIY candle kit, like a candle making kit. So I've suggested small stuff like that, like bringing the date night into the house. Maybe you two make some candles together or do some, I know for Mother's Day, I like order some canvases and order some paint, and we did like a sip and paint at the house, you know, maybe that's something that you and your partner can do. And while I recognize that it's really hard to prioritize the relationship when there's kids involved, because kids are a lot and they need a lot and they are often around, so it may not feel like you get downtime, but still finding a way to prioritize that couple time, because that's really important. And your kids are not going to be happy in all of those things if they're seeing their parents upset and arguing or not prioritizing each other either. You know, I think it's so easy to always say, let's put the kids first. But in reality, to help the kids, the parents have to be good. So it's important to put the relationship first, and not like in a selfish way, like where you just ditch your kids or anything. Right. But, you know, just making sure that the relationship is still a priority and that you're continuing to get to know one another and looking at this quarantine, if possible, as an adventure, right? Like, again, this is something that we've never experienced. So we're all trying to wing it and figure out how to make this work.
It's so interesting that you said all the points that you said, because literally a couple of nights ago, I said to Ryan after the kids went to bed, I was like, I feel like we don't talk anymore. And he was like, what are you talking about? We talk all day long. And I'm like, I know, but like, I feel like we don't talk, like have a moment where we can sit down and connect and talk. Cause that's something that we really love doing. And we haven't had a chance to do it. I mean, we've been homeschooling our oldest. She just wrapped up sixth grade. You know, mm-hmm. we have the babies and now it's
and just they're like a year or two apart, right?
So they're it's 20 like, months apart.
20 there we go.
months apart. And it's like, I feel like we haven't had a chance to connect in that way. So we talked about that. I mean, we laughed about it and kept it light, but like, it's something that I had to bring to the table because I know that we can get caught up in the kids. And then the kids go to bed. And then it's like, he and I get our time to work, to do our own thing. So then it's like having more time apart, you know? So last night, you know, I made dinner and our oldest loves being around us when the babies aren't around because she gets some, you know, quiet and some attention.
Right.
She had her little time with us. And then I said, okay, it's time for me and Papa to have our time. You have to go upstairs. And she was like, dang. And I was like, I love you, but like, we need our time. And whenever I say that, she knows, okay, they're going to watch a show or they're going to, you know, be on the couch and talking and stuff. So it's good that she's older and that we can have that type of boundary with her and she understands. But it can be very challenging sometimes to even get to everybody, you know, have our time with the oldest and then have the time with the toddler. And then I'm constantly in baby mode and like, it's a lot. So
yeah,
I just want everyone listening out there to understand that it's not always sweet over here. And it takes a lot of intentionality to be in partnership and parentship. And then maintaining yourself. Yes. Yeah. Your solo ship. That's important.
Right.
So yeah. So anyway, we had some time yesterday. We watched an awesome show. I dozed off on the couch, you know, like it was just fine, but it felt like we were reconnecting. And that's something that I think that we need to put on our quote unquote calendar to have, you know, that intentional conversation time. And I don't know if you tell your clients to do that, but to really pencil each other in.
Yeah. And for some people, they're like, well, that doesn't sound romantic, or I shouldn't have to pencil my partner in. And it's like, life comes at you fast, and I don't have kids of my own, but my dad and stepmom, I have two very young siblings. So my little brother was born when I was 14. My little sister was born when I was 18. Mm-hmm. And I've seen how parenting can get in the way. And by the time the kids are going to bed, you just want to relax and not even talk
not
to each
a
other.
Because
yes. The kids have stressed you out, right? Or even if they haven't stressed you out, because they're still bundles of joy, it's still like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And so I have a lot of clients who are trying to balance, I need to make time being a mom, because that's important, but I also need to make time being a wife because, you know, or a partner because my relationship is important. But then I need to make time for myself. I don't want to lose my identity in just motherhood or partnership. Yep. Like, who was I before this? I have to make sure that that person is still there too. And so, like you were saying, it's a lot of people to juggle. And when you have, you know, like you have three children, so I definitely understand the oldest wanting her time. I used to make jokes with my parents all the time, like, oh, life was great before my little brother came along, or, you know, and I love my little brother and my little sister to death. Like, I was obsessed when they were babies, but it was still like, wow, remember, like, we used to go to Blockbuster, we used to do certain things before they came along. So it's important to still have that time, that quality time with your oldest. But then of course the other two still need their own time as well. And balancing it all, it can be tricky, but that's where you do pencil each other in. And that doesn't necessarily look like, oh, it's not romantic, but it's more like, no, we are intentional. We are doing this to make sure that it happens because this is what is important to us. And so we schedule around that this weekend.
I love that. Being intentional so that we make sure that it happens. Mm-hmm. That is a great way to look at it, putting that in my journal. That's great. So before we wrap up, whenever I talk to folks, especially people in the mental health field and the givers of our world, it's really important for me to know how you as a therapist take care of yourself, especially as a Black woman who's living alone and who's also, you know, knee deep in her work and supporting so many different people in our community. How are you supporting you and what brings you joy these days?
Oh, that is a great question. I actually plan on starting like a little mini IGTV series called Self-Care Saturday, where it's literally just me showing how I take care of myself, because I want to make sure that I'm practicing what I preach. And my self-care has looked like making candles. It's looked like painting. I've recently become a plant mom, so learning that has been exciting. And I also do hair masks. Like, I mix some ingredients that I have in my fridge and I make a little, you know, hair mask concoction and I put that in. So that's definitely been self-care for me as well. And having a great support system. I mean, I have amazing family and friends. I mean, they are completely supportive. So being able to talk to people when I feel like it, or because I've spent all day talking to people, not talking to people sometimes and putting my phone on do not disturb. Mm-hmm. And that one was hard because I'm used to being the person people come to. And I'd feel really bad or feel really guilty if I don't answer a phone call. But I had to realize that that's just not sustainable and I can't be everything for everybody, you know, and I have to put myself first. So, you know, my self-care has been taking it day by day, finding moments to rest. Some days it's binging stuff. I've started Pose on Netflix.
Nice. So,
that's my new one. Or reading. I've been trying to read a book a month. So, you know, reading has been helpful, or just having some quiet time. I finally got some balcony furniture, so now I'm able to sit on my balcony and relax. So it's really just finding small things to do at least once a day where it's something that calms me, you know. And then what brings me joy? Being fully licensed has definitely brought me some joy that has taken a lot of stress off. Being around family and friends, babies also bring me joy. So I absolutely adore babies. They are so cute to me. And one of my cousins just had a baby a few months ago. My best friend is pregnant, and so that baby's due in September. So I'm really excited about having new babies in my life to play with. And music. Mm-hmm. Even though I listen to the same songs from like the 90s and the 2000s, and I don't really know new music anymore, listening to music and just dancing around my house also brings me joy.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.
The Hey Girl podcast is produced by Wayne Bartram and me, Alex L.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.